Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We have John Kelly joining us with our real estate expert, David Hochberg, taking questions at 11:35. We've also got comedian Jen White. And get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. It's Thursday night, and it is. I know I've been saying this for the last few weeks, Michael. We've been saying how gorgeous it is on Michigan Avenue. But I got dressed today, and I stood in front of my, I have only one full-length mirror, and I stood in front of my mirror, and I went, oh, yeah, you know what? I just remembered my favorite season is fall. Boots, jeans, put on a jacket. I am good to go. We're so happy you found us tonight. I hope that you are happy and safe wherever you are. And I'm excited. There is a new show that has begun on the Entertainment Studios does a great job of making sure that comics keep working. And they have produced shows like Comedy.TV, Comics Unleashed. Byron Allen is an empire unto himself. And there's a new show that has begun called Funny You Should Ask. And the host of that show, funny you should know him because you recognize him as John Kelly from NBC. He's an award-winning journalist. Welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you so much. That is quite the intro. I appreciate it.
I think you're my first award-winning journalist. I don't know. I don't want to sell our newsman short. I'll bet you Rob Martyr's won an award or two.
I bet. That's a lot of pressure, though.
How did you go from journalism to hosting and having to herd? Because you're herding comedians.
Yes. I'm a wrangler, traffic cop, literally out there. But it is the coolest job I have had. You know, you mentioned Byron and just, you know, his commitment to comedy.
Yeah.
You know, he's built this empire with, you know, a multitude of things, just so many different layers, from the syndicated television shows to the networks he has to a film distribution company.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, the biggest independent film of the year.
Yeah. 47 Meters Down.
Exactly.
Unbelievable watching this all unfold. So, you know, it's been impressive to see what Byron has created, though, to keep this lighted fire underneath comedy.
Yeah.
You know, that is his, and this is really a comedy show that happens to have a game.
Exactly.
Intertwined in it, but it is a blast. I love it. It's like going to a nightclub with six iconic comics.
Yeah, this isn't just like going to a nightclub because any night you could see Tom Arnold Howie Mandel and Caroline Ray.
Yeah.
I mean, these
this
are all
is
legends.
So basically, like going to a comedy club on steroids,
yes,
where you have six of these icons up there and you're sitting back, and I get to go to work and laugh literally for 5, 6, 7 hours straight. So I'm sweating underneath my suit because I'm laughing so hard.
What have you learned about comedians that you didn't know before you started on this adventure?
You know, and I've always been a huge fan of comedy. I grew up, listening to Richard Pryor, you know, albums as a kid, or going to see him, you know, on Sunset Strip when I was young, sneaking in, shouldn't have been in there, you know, watching his stuff. But I've been such a big comedy fan, you know, from Eddie Murphy on. And so what I've learned being up close and personal is a lot of things that I assumed and could tell from afar, but now to see it up close and personal is the brilliance. And just the way that these people can turn a simple phrase or capture something and feed off that audience, but, you know, come up with a premise and then sell it and twist it and just destroy a room up close and personal. And then watching the stuff that's not on camera.
I know how the
way their minds work. There is that genius.
And there's
just
a seriousness
so
that people don't realize is there.
Absolutely. But just in the commitment to it, too. And then to watch it again, you know, when you have six of them together, it's like a symphony of music or a great jazz, you know, band that can, you know, play together and they're hitting different beats. And it's so cool because they feed off of each other. And to have that mix, and then the audience starts going off. I mean, it's an onslaught of just, you know, a magnificent comedy, just nonstop.
And the audience is an important element, too. With entertainment studios, they do a great job of making sure that the live audience is entertained not only during whatever's being, you know, shot and produced, in between moments. And they do an amazing job. At every step, it's so professional. And I was dazzled by it when I was out in Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about how the game works. There are two contestants.
Okay. And, you know, I remember the first time when I sat down and had dinner with Byron, he first explained it to me. I thought at that point, and it was before he even talked about me hosting.
Right.
He explained this to me, and it's, you know, it's two contestants, six great comics, and the comedy team that we have behind the scenes, you know, 15 to 20 comic writers who are stand-up comics, you know, by day and night, and they work for us as well. they come up with these great questions. So we educate as well as entertain. But so we come up with these great killer questions that then are twisted to have, you know, say funny payoff. So we ask them the comics a question. They give a punchline answer and just blow up the room, blow the roof off. Everybody laughs and they say, no, no, I know this. And they give a serious answer to a great question. And then the player has to figure out whether they're right or wrong. Every correct answer, they win money. And then whoever has the most money after three rounds wins that money, keeps that money, and then goes on for a big bonus round to win a big boatload of cash at the end.
So they have to decide if the comedian, so in the first go round, the answer, the original, the first answer is going to be
a punchline.
A punchline.
Yeah, they'll come back with something funny.
But then it's hard to tell because people always ask comics when we come off stage, is that a true story, right? So they know, people already know that comics are masters at storytelling.
Without question. Yeah. And so when they do that, I can't tell you how many times the contestants have said to me, you sold me on that just by a look or a tone. Again, as you point out, comedians are actors and they have minds that work in so many ways. But yeah, the way they can tell a story and just, again, the simplicity that they can do something so subtle and just really hit it over the fence. But the comedians, without even trying in their minds, it seems like it looks so effortless. The players oftentimes are just, they're buying in. They're like, you had me and you got me. But the cool thing too is the comics, and like we do, we want them to win
money.
So they're trying. We're cheering for them.
Yes. I love that. And what a great reinvention, because people always talk about the great game shows of the 1970s, you know, like the Match Game and the Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares. You know, that's what, you know, we're similar to that. I mean, most like Hollywood Squares, but we have six comedians instead of nine. We don't have the boxes and the X's and the O's, but it's that same kind of payoff and that pacing and that timing. You know, comedy, as you well know, you've been in the business a long time and you're great at what you do. It is that timing.
Right.
And it's such a fine, you know, line of, you know, the ones that know how to do it. And a lot of people, everybody wants to think they're funny.
Right.
But the great ones, man, it's beautiful to watch.
I've got to see. I know that John Lovitz probably has a good time with this, because if there's somebody who can deliver something such a dry way.
Oh, yeah. And the cool thing, you know, John Lovitz is like, you know, back in the day when Paul Lynn was the center square. So John is, you know, one of our regulars.
Sure.
And what's been really cool, he talked about getting to hang out with the comics. We've kind of developed this back and forth, this frickin' frack thing. So we kind of go out a little bit and have some fun with it. He knows, and he'll pull me aside going, hey, you know, what if I did this and did this? And so we've developed a rapport where it kind of becomes, you know, busting each other's chops. And then it's cool because then the audience gets in on the joke. So we get to go push it back and forth. And, you know, he's made it a blast. He, Louis Anderson, but we've had so many great ones. Howie Mandel. One of the original kings of comedy, Cedric the Entertainer, Cheryl Underwood, Sherry Shepherd, Cheryl Hines, Natasha Leggero.
You see my producer just walk in with a huge case of water, by the way?
Oh, yeah, well, you requested it. That's the kind of power you wield. You said, we need water. And he goes and runs out this door right before we started the show and comes back with, I think, what is that, a 24-pack?
He came back with a pallet of water.
Look at you, man. Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was stellar, Michael. I should say, yes. Michael Heidemann coming in with it.
Michael,
you go.
Nice
Excellent.
Work, brother. Really
Very
appreciate
well
you.
Done.
And you were impressive. You know, you came and greeted me literally probably like, you know, 45 seconds before this show started. You jumped off a podcast, grabbed us, came in, and you're like, hey, welcome to the show. Hey, here, I got some headphones for you. These are really good. Try these out. And you sat right down there. They were introing your name, the big open, blah, blah, and you sat down like you didn't even miss a beat. Like, this woman is impressive.
Or just, lucky. I think lucky is the word.
Well, you make luck look good.
The microphone's on. The microphone's on.
Yes.
John Kelly is the host of Funny You Should Ask. And do you know what the air times are here in Chicago?
You know, WCIU, the U, we are on, I believe, 11:30.
Okay.
In the evening.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a nice time, you know, after you watch local news. You can DVR it for the ones who have to get up. But, yeah, set it Monday through Friday. And my hope is everybody gets a chance to catch an episode, because it's one of those things that once you experience the ride, I think will hook you. If I always say, if people watching have 1/5 of the fun that I have hosting it, I think we got a chance to be a hit.
Oh, no kidding. No, you're going to be a hit. That's a given. That's a given. It is Funny You Should Ask. Is it every night? 5 nights a week? How many nights a week?
Monday through Friday. And oftentimes in markets, we're on a Saturday. A few markets like LA and I believe New York as well. Run twice.
Everyone Google it, because, you know, people can hear us in 38 states and Canada right now.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, so, but GN is worldwide.
I'm just saying. So Google it. Funny You Should Ask, hosted by John Kelly. It's got a lot of your favorite comics. And I am so excited for you and for all the comedians who've been, you know, really working hard, have a fun way to hang out with each other, because it's got to be a little bit like comedy camp. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back, and a little bit more about what happened since you left, because we miss you in Chicago. It's John Kelly. You remember him.
You
know him. You can see him every night now, Monday through Friday, on the WCIU. You at 11:30 p.m. Funny You Should Ask. More in a moment. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Gorgeous night in Chicago. So much going on around the country. You know, we keep talking about the hurricanes. There's also fires going on in the middle, the north, the middle north of the country. We have like in Montana and Wyoming. And there's also, I don't know how John Kelly lives in Los Angeles. One of my biggest fears, two of my biggest fears are earthquakes and fire season.
And wildfires, yeah. The fire season.
And
when
Burbank.
It happens, yeah. You know, and it's interesting. Every once in a while, you'll come out to your car and there's this big cloud. You can smell it in the air and your car is covered in ashes because it's blown in.
Yeah,
you know, fortunately, it's never gotten that close to where I've lived, mm-hmm. but it's out there.
What part of LA are you living in now?
We just moved out to the Manhattan Redondo Beach area.
Okay. Stay by the, you know what?
Stay by the water. When the fire comes, I just jump right in.
Stay by the water.
I keep a snorkel and the fins nearby for the entire family.
These are good plans. I like what you do. I like it. Well, you grew up in the Midwest, lived most of your life in the Midwest.
Yeah, born, raised Lincoln, Nebraska. I always tell people it's a safe, great place to grow up, but I wouldn't necessarily vacation there.
Well, I heard they have great steaks.
They have great steaks.
You wouldn't vacation in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I wouldn't recommend vacationing in Nebraska. It's a little kind of slow, but it's nice and comfortable, and the people are great.
I'm trying to think of things I've seen in Nebraska, but you're right. I'm usually on my way somewhere.
Yeah,
I love Nebraska.
People say
great
that.
People.
I often hear that. People say, I've driven through Nebraska. I was like, you didn't stop, did you?
I performed in Omaha, Lincoln, Kearney.
Probably like the Funny Bone or somewhere
yes,
back there.
All
yes.
those places. Yeah. Kearney, Nebraska, right there in the middle,
yeah.
I've been to.
Yeah.
You're
That's
right,
impressive.
Though.
You're rattling off cities in my home state.
Well, you've probably traveled a lot, too. I mean, you signed with the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, obviously, and that's where the University of Nebraska is. And you were brainwashed as a kid to watch and cheer for Nebraska football. So
okay.
when I got a scholarship offer there, I was brainwashed, turned down all my other recruiting visits. I said, I'm going to Nebraska.
Okay.
Just because that's how big it is. And then I was lucky enough, as you mentioned, I was signed as a free agent by the Denver Broncos. But this was a long time ago, back when they wore leather helmets. It's been
sure.
a while.
Oh, yeah. Okay, come on.
I think
on.
In Nebraska
come
we played against
now.
Newt Rockne and the Four Horsemen. That's how long it's been. But yeah, it feels like it's been that long ago. But I was lucky. You know, I was able to play football at a college program that I really wanted to. Got a great education, journalism, great. That's part of the reason I picked Nebraska, too, because they have a good journalism school.
What got you interested in journalism when you were a kid?
You know, great question. My mother, she was in journalism, and she worked at the Lincoln Journal and Star newspaper. The owner, Joe R. Seacrest, she was basically his right-hand woman for 20-plus years. And so when she would work late, I would literally sleep on the boss's leather sofa because my mom had to work all night.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to take a blanket with me, and I'd hang out in the newsroom. I'd hang out with the sports guys. I'd go watch the printing press and all coming out. So I kind of got hooked on that. I really dug what I saw, and so that was kind of what drove me to want to become a journalist.
Kind of fed off that energy when
yeah.
you were little.
And my mom growing up, I swore she was Mary Tyler Moore. She kind of looked like her, the long black hair. So when I watched Mary Tyler Moore, because Mary Tyler Moore worked in the newsroom,
sure.
So I was like, my mom's Mary Tyler Moore. And when I grew up, I want to be like that.
Oh, I love that. So you signed with the Broncos, go off, and where did you begin your journalism career after college?
Yeah, my first job was Sioux City, Iowa.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Sioux
been
City,
there too.
Iowa. Yeah, mm-hmm. And here's the story. I go in after a guy said, hey, you know, offered me a job, and I was like, yeah, you know, I want to come up and see the station, you know, trying to play it big time. Anyway, long story short, I get there. He goes, want to make you our weekend sports reporter, or our sports reporter and weekend sports anchor. And I was like, all right, yeah, it sounds great. He goes, $3.25 an hour. And I go, cool.
No, come
on. I was like, happy I got a job offer. And I said, I'll take it. And he kind of paused and he looks at me and goes, I kind of feel bad. You jumped at that. We're going to give you $3.75 an hour. And I was like, man, I haven't even started and I already got a raise. So I was happy until I realized, I was like, once I got that first check and taxes had been taken out, I was like,
$8.
How am I going to pay rent?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm eating toast and ramen noodles forever. But I loved it, though. I worked there 5 months doing sports. And
on the weekends?
Yeah, and it was interesting because I just signed with the Broncos, too. So my first TV job, I told him, too, after I got the call from the Broncos. I said, hey, man, I know I took the job. I just signed with the Broncos. And he's like, well, when do you start? My news director, when do you start? I gave him the date, and he said, why don't you come work for us for a month?
Okay.
Then you'll go off to camp. We'll come cover you as Channel 4's John Kelly at Bronco Camp.
Nice.
If you make it, congratulations. If not, we'll keep your job for you.
Sure.
So I ended up, I got cut, you know, right before the first
preseason
game.
No.
Yeah. And then ended up, and this is funny, I'll make it quick, but so I get cut, and I'm not thinking about it, but, you know, this is back in the late 80s. I wasn't thinking The Wire would come out. I'm thinking I got cut, and I was disappointed. One of my teammates who got cut lived in Denver. He's like, come hang out with me for a few days before you go back to work. And I was like, cool, cool. I guess I'll call my station in a couple days. So I finally, after about 2-3 days, I get a call from my sports director. He goes, hey, John, man, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And he goes, well, we worried. We saw on The Wire you got cut like 4 days ago, and we hadn't heard from you. I was like, oh, yeah, man. Anyway, so that was kind of the beginning.
Were you hoping to fly under the radar a little bit?
Yeah,
I kind of
thought so. The football career was in the rearview mirror, and I thought I deserve to celebrate.
Exactly. I think you earn something, you lose something, you get to mourn it a little bit.
Exactly.
What do you think about football these days? I mean, I would say more in the injury area. I know there's so much going on politically, but I mean, there's like this this shift as far as like the way people watch football now.
Oh, without question. And, it's impacted, just the way I look at my world. When I grew up, I dreamed of playing pro football, and that was my thing. Trying to play basketball, football worked out better. No one really talked much about concussions back then. That's maybe why my head is kind of shaped the way it
is. You're fine, stop.
But, and now you think about it, my wife and I talk about this. Our son, I have three sons, actually, two daughters. People always ask me, are you going to let your sons play football?
Right.
And it's really to the point where, as much as I'd love to, because I got so much out of it, I have big questions now just because of that safety factor.
I agree.
I'm very happy, though, that there's now a spotlight on it.
Right.
Because you see these older football players and you read about them, the damage that can really happen. I mean, people say it's a collision sport. It's a Mack truck running into another Mack truck and your brain slapping against your head. So I think they try to do things to make it safe. But
right.
you can't get around the smashing of your head. So our sons, more than likely, unless my wife has an epiphany and wants to suddenly let it happen, probably will not be playing football. And I get it.
I recommend martial arts.
Chess.
Track.
Tennis.
Chess is good, yeah.
My oldest son likes tennis.
There you go. These are all good
but
things.
But yeah, it's a great thing. But I like the fact, though, that people are really starting to pay attention to that. At the very least, for the ones that are playing, then they now monitor them.
Yeah.
Because it's a dangerous thing. Your brain's a pretty important organ.
And what a great perspective you were able to bring as a journalist, as someone who covered sports. And also, I'm fascinated by the transition from the career you had here in Chicago. So did you go from Chicago to Los Angeles?
Yeah, and I did sports. My first job was sports in Sioux City. Then I was a news reporter.
Uh-huh.
So I've done news, sports, and then I did entertainment. I was an extra.
That's right.
Doing the
yes.
entertainment stuff. And I did a reality show called The Mole.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Cooper did the first couple of years. And I didn't know that much about it. But after I saw him do it, because I'd never thought about hosting a reality show. But
right.
I thought, how cool. And once I saw what Anderson had done, it was kind of, I thought, more of a cerebral reality show. Kind of a mole and a saboteur and all that kind of mystery. But so that's what's really making this so cool. Hosting Funny You Should Ask, because it kind of brings everything I've done together.
Yep.
I feel like because we have the live audience, I'm kind of the wrangler and traffic cop in the middle of everything. But also, we've got the journalistic side because we're teaching and we've got those things going. But it feels like a sports atmosphere. So it's in entertainment, obviously. But it's really cool the way that, my career has come to this point where I can harness everything I've done to unleash it with some of the most talented people in the business. These guys are so funny, and these ladies, it's a brilliant piece to work on. And I was telling my wife the other night, I thought, how cool is this that at this point in my career I've arrived at that job that I wouldn't have ever expected, but feels like that centerpiece of really my career.
Well, we have some audio that we'll play in just a little bit from the, I believe we have it from the series as well, so I want to play some of that.
Oh, absolutely.
And we are hanging out with John Kelly. We've got a quick break here. We're going to do the news. If you want to call and say hi to John, let him know. 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. Funny You Should Ask airs on WCIU right here in Chicago every night, Monday through Friday at 11:30. But check your local listings, because I know people are listening all over the country and they want to know how to catch this show. More after this.
So.
Absolutely. More in just a moment on 720 WGN.
It's allowable to have up to 30 insect fragments per 100 grams of peanut butter.
Well, the crunch has to come from somewhere.
Always right to go with Howie. Yes, you are absolutely correct.
Yes, thank you.
It's your inner child gets to come out and play.
Abraham Lincoln suffered from depression.
Yes, and sadly, he went to the theater to cheer himself up.
That's some of the audio.
Caroline Ray.
From Funny You Should Ask, but Funny You Should Ask About Your Finances. Oh,
you
go ahead, play it.
Do your thing.
Yeah, this is David Hochberg's theme music.
Putting it down.
Right?
It is a party in it.
Are you a property owner, John?
But, I've many times been a property owner.
Many times.
Seen the good, bad, and the ugly over the, you know, crash and all that. So I've experienced all sides of it.
But have you, and you've never called David Hochberg?
You know what? I have tried many times. For some reason, he's either busy or out of the office.
Or yelling
so
at somebody else.
Exactly. So now I'm excited that we have him.
Fortunately, you have him on the air with us. Hey, David Hochberg, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Patty. Hi, John. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you?
Living the dream, baby.
Love it.
By the way, it's not Prozac or Xanax chocolate chip cookies. I just wanted you to know that.
Nice,
I heard that.
Nice. The healthy alternative.
We were just speculating. There's been so much that's been going on. Now, I don't know if John has been able to catch up with the news today, but Equifax has reported that over 143 million accounts. Is this right, David? 143 million accounts have been hacked?
Wow.
Yeah, they had a major data breach. Equifax is one of the three major credit reporting agencies that lenders like myself go to pull credit reports, where car companies go to pull credit reports before they lend money to people. It's a huge data breach, 143 million people. Basically, anyone who has had their credit run within the past 7 years, the data breach happened between May of this year and July of this year, totaling up to 143 million consumers could be impacted. I mean, this is huge.
Well, see, and this makes me crazy, because if you want to get anything done, or you know, there's a lot of people out there that say, hey, make sure you know your credit rating, find out how you're doing, get your credit checked. And I'm a procrastinator, so this is one of those situations where I can honestly say, whew, dodge a bullet on that one. I have not ordered up my Equifax, however you say it. Here's the thing, the first thing that popped in my head today, David, John, and everybody, was, is it possible that it was one of these, like, fraud protection agencies that did this so they could go, hey, if you just had our little service going for you.
Yeah. Well, we can save you.
That'd be a good cover, huh? That'd be a great cover.
I'm just saying, 143 million people, David, this is unbelievable.
And David, what does that mean? Well, that you're exposed, or it'll impact you? I mean, what exactly, tactically, will that do to your credit, or your what you've gotten, you know, taken over?
Well, remember that Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where they hacked the grading scale, and he's at home turning his F's into A's.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's basically what these hackers have the ability to do, John. Is they have all your information, not only your Social Security number, your legal name, but also they have access to, according to the reports that I've read, your driver's license number.
Man.
So they could basically take that information and start opening up, you know, credit cards and other accounts in your name, Patty's name.
Just rip off your identity.
John's name. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty major, major, major impact on people's credit scores. And what our compliance department sent out an email a couple of hours ago, like what should people do, and what your listeners should do is, Equifax is offering a free credit monitoring service. And it's you know, obviously three W's, but it's Equifax. It's EQUIFAX Security 2017, spell out 2017. It's the numbers, not spelling out 2017.com/enroll. It's a free service that Equifax is offering.
But
you're in the front row.
Okay, but okay, so you're supposed to go and ask them to check and see what happened to the people who let it happen, is what you're saying?
No. Equifax has set up a monitoring service.
Yeah.
Which will identify if you've been violated.
All right. I feel violated. I don't even know.
You know, and it's been running for days now. Okay, it's been running since May through July. Okay, so figure it out. May, June, July, August, September. It's been 4 months.
Yeah, why didn't they say something sooner? They've been sitting on this, haven't they?
I have no idea. I mean, it's pretty bad. And, you know, listen, they might have just found out about it. And, like, you know, they've got that holy crap moment. Like, well, now what are we going to do? So, you know, you hire the PR people and you start dancing, right? I mean, I'm telling two media people, you know what to do. You know, you bring in the PR people and you start figuring out how are we going to minimize the backlash of 143 million people potentially been violated. So it's a pretty big story, guys, and people should get ahead of it. Equifax Security 2017.com/enroll enroll is what your listeners should be doing right now.
Wow. I mean, okay, so yeah. Was Equifax a place that you were telling clients that they should go check out their credit ratings, you know, and if they were applying for anything?
Big business.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Listen, we have to pull what's called a tri-merge credit report, all right? Any lender, every lender in the United States, not just Pearl Mortgage, has to pull a tri-merge, which is a credit report from Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And what every lender does is they take the credit scores and take the middle credit score, and that is what the lower the two borrowers' middle credit score, and that what dictates the rate. Okay, if you've got people out there, Wells Fargo just had this happen to them last week. Oh, by the way, we just found another million people, according to reports, another million people that we just unearthed that our people, at the branch were opening up credit cards for. Really? Okay, really? You just found that out? How long have you been sitting on that, Wells Fargo? Okay, and now they're trying to put a dollar sign on. Figure this one out, right? Listen, I'm pretty good with numbers, but I don't know how you get your arms around this. If you're one of those 3 million consumers that their branch people opened up credit cards in your name that you didn't know about, and it negatively impacted your credit score and it took your credit score down from 700 down to the low 600s, that could have impacted your mortgage rate, your car rate, the rate you got on your car loan, the rate you got on your mortgage loan, by over a point. Factor that onto hundreds of billions of dollars of mortgages over a 30-year period of time. How do you put a dollar figure on that? Thanks, Wells Fargo. Okay, and that's what they're trying to get around. I don't know how this is going to be impactful, negatively impact consumers. That's why you need to look over every single credit report that you get your hands on and start doing these credit monitoring services that Equifax is offering for free. EquifaxSecurity2017.com/enroll, because it could crush you financially.
Well, and this is the thing, too, that's terrifying, is that because your Social Security number is always your Social Security number forever. So
it's in your DNA.
Right. So they can, if someone has that, they don't have to do anything about it now. They could do it years down the road and just sit on it. And so how do you protect yourself going forward? Because I used to have a service where if I even tried to apply for a credit card, I would get a letter saying, did you apply for this credit? Or I'd get a phone call. And that's the kind of thing people don't like to have. Those, they don't want to be double checked. I on the back of my credit card, it says I have my signature, but it also says see photo ID. And I've had, you know, cashiers ask for my photo, and I'm like, I say thank you so much for asking.
I agree.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, some people don't like it. Well, then why did they put see photo ID? You should always want whoever is. I mean, even a cashier isn't necessarily going to be your last stopgap. They're not going to be your line of defense every single time. But don't you want something there, some wall
Absolutely.
Of security?
In this day and age, take anything you can get.
Exactly. Yeah, David, do you have any suggestions for to protect yourself?
Well, here, you know what frightens me? It's because I do that same thing. I get the black Sharpie out, and I put CID on the back of all my credit cards, right? So please confirm that there's, you know, God forbid that there's more than one David Hochberg out there, but, you know, please confirm that, you know, I'm the fat, ugly guy that's actually charging.
Come on, stop.
You know the stuff that I'm trying to charge. And these people at the checkout counters flip my credit card around, see it to CID, and go, oh, okay, and then just slide it right through. And I'm just, looking at them. I'm just like, this is what's scary out there. So what people need to do, and John hit it on the head. I don't know if it was John or you, Patty. They could sit in waiting. They've got your driver's license number. My driver's license number hasn't changed since I got my driver's license when I was 16 years old. It's the same number.
Yeah.
They've got everything. They could potentially have it, and it might not be right now. But it might be like, you know, the carbon monoxide. You just sit there and wait, and it's going to come back in the long run and kill you. So people have to get ahead of it, constantly monitor their charges. We found something. My wife and I found something on one of our credit cards that was being charged. It was a small amount. It was like $13.48. We never noticed it, right?
Every month? Were you getting it every month?
Right. Every single month. We we started noticing, you know, on her card or my card. I'm just like, what the heck is this? We call up and somebody put it through, and it was a small enough amount, and they've been charging us for over a year. So we went back to the credit card company and, you know, put in a dispute, and we got it taken off. But you have to go through your credit cards. You have to go through your bank statements. You have to go through every single thing that you charge to make sure that those charges are exactly what you charged, because there are scumbags out there that are going out there stealing your identity and just putting through these little charges, guys. Okay, oh, $3.48. Oh, they didn't notice that. Next time there's a one in front of it, it's $13.48. Oh, this idiot didn't notice that. Okay, so now we're going to go through $1,038, and they're just going to keep building upon that. Now multiply that $13 with hundreds of thousands of consumers that aren't checking their credit card bill. That adds up pretty darn quick.
Can I just take a moment and feel a little bit better that David Hochberg made the same mistake I did, which was not going through line by line on my credit card bill. Same thing. It was $39. It was like some gold quest or something that had been going through like for 18 months. Not, like about, I think it was from, it was like 13 months. And my credit card company, to their credit, they, no pun intended, they went through, they tracked it down, said that this is something that you did not approve, and we've removed
yeah,
it. And we've
it out, right?
Yeah, they backed it out for me and credited my account. Yeah. And that's big. When you get $480 back on your account, you're like, wow. But you also feel really stupid that you didn't look closer at your account.
Yeah, and I'm in the business, all right? And I'm just like, what
but you're still human.
Me? I'm the guy on the radio telling everybody to check the credit cards, and we're not even doing it. So,
it
happened to me. It happened to a couple of friends of mine. So you've got to scrub. And if you don't recognize the charge, right? You know, listen, there's been times that I charged something, and it was coded under a different corporation, okay? You know the corporation's name that I didn't recognize. And they're like, well, weren't you in this town doing this? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, but it wasn't called that. And they're like, well, that was a corporation that owns that company that you bought it from. And I go, that's my charge.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I said, okay, that's a good charge, but those aren't. And yes, I did buy, you know, gas at XYZ company, even though it was a Citgo, let's say.
Right.
Right. But
right.
That Citgo is listed as XYZ company. So, you know, you got to go through, and the credit card companies will work with you. And we'll back out what's not yours. So you got to look at this stuff, guys. You really do. It's critical.
John, you didn't know you were coming in to talk about Funny You Should Ask. Funny You Should Ask. How's your credit today?
No, preach it, man. No, seriously. It's something you got to stay on top of.
We are hanging out with David Hochberg. You can go to WGNDavid.com for information. And if you have questions about your credit, about your finances, about how to maybe refinance your mortgage, go to WGNDavid.com. If you have a question right now, he's on the line, 312-981-7200. John Kelly is the host of the new series from Entertainment Studios, airing right now on WCIU Monday through Friday. Doesn't it start?
Yeah, today was the world premiere.
Dun, dun, dun. WCIU Monday through Friday, 11:30 p.m. But if you don't live in the Chicagoland area, just check your local listings for Funny You Should Ask. It's kind of like the Hollywood Squares, but funnier, with all funny people.
Exactly.
And with a traffic cop and equally funny and talented host, John Kelly. We're going to hear more about that when we come back. And David Hochberg on the line, 312-981-7200. He just told you that he misses stuff too, so call. You know, it's okay to bare your soul to him. He'll be kind in a way, in his own way, right, David?
Yes, absolutely. It's like going to a doctor, right?
Yes.
Drop your pants, show me what you got, and I can't fix it if I can't see it. So we're going to find it. And I have an update from that gentleman that called in 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Who wanted us to take a look at it? He thought he only had $25,000 worth of debt. And his credit scores was great. You know, coming back out of the break, I'll give you an update on that.
Let's save
this guy a ton of money, and I just want to share that with your listeners.
Excellent. Let's a little tease before the break. Let's get an update about a listener with David Hochberg. 312-981-7200. More when we come back in just a moment on 720.
John Kelly's done a phenomenal job.
May's getting a sneak peek at a new game show that's got a very familiar face.
Loyal Extra fans remember John going one-on-one for us with Hollywood's biggest stars.
It's kind of wild.
The comedians like him. They trust him. They enjoy working with him.
You're going to be wrangling these comedians.
Yes. Okay. Kind of like the air traffic controller. The comics, they're the stars.
And why do people love game shows? People like to laugh. They like to cheer for people. And they like to think of, hey, I could see myself doing that.
Funny you should ask John Kelly. He's ran a whole bunch of people talking about John Kelly and hearing John Kelly talk about John Kelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to John
Kelly.
Freaky,
yeah.
Funny You Should Ask is a brand new game show on WCIU from Entertainment Studios on Monday through Friday, 11:30, right here in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about Byron Allen's brainchild, and
yes,
then hooked up with, you know, executive producer Scott Satin, mm-hmm, to create something that's really fun. And I like the title that everybody came up with on our team. It's America's Comedy Game Show.
It is America's Comedy Game Show. It's a blast, and it's such a brilliant idea.
Thank you so much.
Plus,
you know, I'm excited about it. I really love this show.
I can tell. Well, because you have, I mean, you're hanging out with funny people. So there's a panel of six comics.
That's it. There's panel of six comics.
Like three and three.
Yeah,
so
three and three. And it's usually, we always have at least two women.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yes, but you know, it's true. One of the other things I'm proud of, besides being a funny show and entertaining, and also we educate a little bit in between as well, the diversity of the comics, not, mm-hmm, just the type of comics, but, you know, we have different people of different shades. We have, you know, women up there. So it's, Byron's just done a really great job, as
always,
you've talked about, putting, mm-hmm, the spotlight and being a champion for comics.
Absolutely.
And this show, you know, think about your favorite sitcom. You,
right,
probably watch that, and, you know, think about if you have 8 to 10 maybe out loud moments where you're laughing.
Right.
That's a smash hit. The cool thing about our show, you get 18 to 20, 20 plus laughs because it's bang, bang, bang. So,
right,
it is just rocked full
plus,
of comedy.
Plus the tension of somebody trying to win some money.
Yeah, and then we got people,
you know,
trying to take home some cash.
Yeah.
And we love giving cash away.
And what it is, so the you've got a question that you pose to the comedians.
Yes, you know, and we'll take one contestant, one player at a time. They're playing with one of the comedians, and then we rotate and they go around. But one at a time, so we'll ask the comic question, they give a hilarious answer, and then they try to answer it for real.
Right.
And the player doesn't know if they're, you know, if they know what they're talking about. Sometimes the comics go, no, I really know this one. Trust me on this. And they'll sell something. They have to guess if they're right or wrong. And that interaction. And then what I love, too, is the comics are having a blast. The players are involved with it. So the comics and the players have this energy. And then the live audience. So it's just this, it's a tsunami. Tsunami.
I like tsunami. That's,
yes,
a great way of putting
tsunami,
it.
Tsunami, and that's where, you know, you can feel it. And I love being right in the center of it.
Have you had any, I know you've taped a lot of episodes already. As you mentioned, you guys have already been renewed for a second season.
Yes, yes.
Have you had one where, and I'm guessing this has happened a few times, where someone just destroys everybody on the set? One of the comics has to, I mean, there's so many talented,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you know, and it's really, that's a great question, but it really comes down to, you feel like, you know, different people are hitting it over the fence at different times.
Sure.
And the comics are supporting each other, and they're jumping up, slapping five when someone, you know, nails one and it blows the roof off. So it's always like, again, a great unified effort. But you also see it where they start grabbing the rhythm of the other person. It's like, you know, I've talked about, you know, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen the back of the day on
sure,
a great fast break. Then they, you know, launch it back and Michael goes up for the alley-oop and they dunk it.
Oh, I love that. And I'll bet you, too, that it's a little bit like comedy camp, because comics, we're solitary animals. We,
mm-hmm,
you know, we're on the road by ourselves for, you know, weeks on end. So when you get everybody together, it's like a comedy camp. I mean,
yeah,
this has got to be so exciting for them.
Well, and you talked about it. You saw it when you did Comics Unleashed.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on to keep that audience going, too. So we,
exactly,
have, you know, guys out there. And then the comics, and we take our, you know, during the breaks, the comics are interacting with the crowd. And, you know, so they keep this party going. And then Byron Allen, who's the, you know, he's the founder, the CEO and president of our company, he's out there with the mic working,
sure,
the crowd, because he's so into it. And he's the quarterback and the GM while we're doing the show, but he's also working that crowd because that's in his DNA.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. We have a listener who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Ruth, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, nice to hear from you again. And
thank you.
I'll listen to your conversation tonight. I very rarely ever watch TV, and I have gotten an interest gleaned by Mr. Kelly's enthusiasm. He's remarkably enthusiastic. I very rarely find that degree of enthusiasm.
It's contagious.
For what he states in his lifetime,
wow,
and what he's doing now. In the media empire that he's in, and as a journalist, I might qualify for a Funny You Should Ask questions, so,
okay,
I'll let you judge.
All right.
I want an explanation, though, on what this program is all about. In other words, what would you be qualified to ask? You know, I have no idea what kind of questions that program would be,
sure,
looking for. But my question for Mr. Kelly is, because of his enthusiasm, this came just right through me. I have things throughout my life that I wanted to do, but my hands were tied financially or publicity-wise that I could never do them. So aside from his career, what would he like to do soul-wise, searching charity, something that he would like to leave as a legacy?
So you're saying, Ruth, if he wasn't hosting Funny You Should Ask, what would you see yourself doing? Is that what you're asking,
Ruth?
Is that
what you're asking, Ruth?
That's what I'm asking. I mean, some people want to go into politics.
Sure.
Someone wants to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You want to be a journalist and in the media. But aside from that,
yeah,
that's the thing that pays your bills. What would you like to do that leaves it a better place than you found it? I'm asking you that question because of the enthusiasm that's in your voice.
Okay. Well, Ruth, first off, you're a sweetheart. Thanks for calling in. I mean, I'm flattered that you picked up on how much, you know, I love what I do, because I do feel blessed. And I really appreciate you for that. If I wasn't in television and media and production and doing things like that, and that's a great question, I think I'd really want to be a teacher, whether it was in a high school or a university level, because I love connecting. I love teaching. You know, I've worked for jobs where I've had interns, and I love finding the ones that are passionate,
sure,
that I feel like that share my enthusiasm, and I will give to them everything that I know. When I first was getting into the business, I was fortunate to have a couple people reach out and give me a hand. And I decided at that point, when I still was in school, I said, if anybody ever gives a you-know-what about what I think or what I do,
sure,
I'm going to give that back to those people. I can see that same thing. And so I think I would really feel fulfilled being able to be a teacher and sharing what I know about journalism and sharing what I know about life lessons and doing what you hope to do. You know, when you're young, sometimes you have to do what you got to do what you want to do.
I love that answer.
And so, you know, it feels like, you know, if I could be in a position like that, you know, I'd love, you know, connecting and helping people grow and achieving things. So, Ruth, in a nutshell, I think being a teacher would be something I would really feel great about. Now, I believe teachers should make a lot more money because they are so very vital. And think about the
right?
important people you've had in your life. So
oh, yeah.
I think that'd be a cool job, Ruth. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, okay. I want to say that I appreciate that answer because it's humbly a wonderful answer. Myself, having experienced the most phenomenal teachers in my life when I had a learning disability and failed and everything, and how much they structured things that I would do later on throughout my lifetime.
Oh.
So that you answered that question that way, I appreciate it. So we got a juxtaposition there. But back to this program, what is it that you're looking for people to ask Funny You Should Ask?
So the questions, you're curious what kind of questions we have on the show. And again, Ruth, that's a great question.
Give us an example.
And what you've talked about, Ruth, I wish you were here so I could give you a hug. You seem like such a wonderful woman. So thank you for everything. You know, the questions, you know, think of like, you know, Trivial Pursuit.
Okay.
You know, really cool, interesting type questions. You know, sometimes you hear the question, you know, there's going to be something very, very funny out of it. But sometimes it's just very interesting. You know, you learn things about history. And that's why we have, I've talked about it, and Patty and I were talking. Not only do we have, you know, iconic comics sitting up and performing on the show, we have a stable of 15-plus comedic stars behind the scenes, these stand-up comics that work on this, and they are researching these questions. They're, you know, ripping through, you know, the internet, but then having to then take these great questions among thousands of topics and then twisting a great funny punchline out of there, you know, and finding great ways to set people up to make these comics look very good.
And when do you read the question to them? Do you have like cards or are there screens? How does it?
I literally have them on cards.
Okay. So
nice thing is, you know, so, and I don't know what the comics are going to say. So
sure,
when I'm laughing, it's sincere because they're, you know, so quick and blowing it up. But Ruth, it's a fun show. It's entertaining. You know, you take away something and some knowledge. And I think that's what's the cool mix about it, but you have a blast. So I hope you get a chance to come and watch us here. Are you in Chicago?
I am in Lake County, but I grew up in Chicago. Three of my grandsons are Ogdens, the first mayor of Chicago.
Oh,
with the railroads,
wow,
through the country.
Wow.
However, I don't have a sense of humor. My mother said I was never a child. I was born an adult, and I once told Bob Hope that I didn't like slapstick comedy. So I would probably fail on your show.
Oh, no, because here's the thing,
Ruth.
You'd
be a great contestant.
It's not about deciding whether or not the comics are funny.
Right.
It's about whether or not you think they know the answer.
Yeah, and you sound like a smart woman,
yeah,
so you'd probably run away with a lot of cash.
Yeah, you got to check it out, Ruth. I'll bet you'll get a kick out of the antics that the comics engage in order to let the contestant know whether or not they actually have the answer to their question. And again, this is a Monday through Friday on WCIU 11. 11:30 p.m. Locally, but everyone can check their local listings. Just Google Funny Shack.
Some markets were on at 9 a.m., some markets, in the afternoon. So it runs the gamut. So, yeah, if you check it out, hopefully you'll have a chance to jump on board. And I dig you taking a ride with us. Hopefully you'll stick around.
Yeah. Check it out, Ruth. I think you'll love it. It's such an honor to have you in studio. I hope.
How long
are you in town for?
Pleasure. Actually leaving tomorrow.
Gosh.
Came in to do some media stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of a smash and grab in that sense. But I love Chicago. My heart is in this city in so many ways. Love the people, love the architecture, love the restaurants. It's great. So, I came here in 1991 when I started working at NBC, right before the Bulls won their first championship. And I was here for 8 years, and they ripped off 6 titles. So I was a lucky dope.
He doesn't even look like he's aged. You look the exact same age.
It's false teeth, wig, makeup,
Stop it. None of that's true. I mean, I can see that he works out a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I can see
now
that.
I wear a bat suit, too. This
Stop
is all
it.
Just, synthetic.
You go ahead and see the ageless John Kelly hosting Funny You Should Ask on WCIU Monday through Friday, 11:30 p.m. Central. Look forward to having you,
Patty, you
back
are
in studio.
A joy. I've been familiar with what you've done in the past and what you're doing currently, but what I love is the fact that now I really get to meet you and I got to hang
out
with you tonight for a couple hours. So thank you.
I'll
so,
see you in a
so
few weeks. I'm in Los Angeles the end of the month. So
come on out and let me know when you're going to perform out there so I can come check you out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. I go out there for other kinds of work.
Okay,
doing stand-up comedy, it's like because everyone's out there for the showcases and stuff. They're all out there trying to get their. I've done the rotation.
Yes, well, I'll come watch you here in your backyard.
This is what I do now.
There you go.
I love doing this, and if you get a chance, come to Zany sometime. That's my.
I would love to.
Going to LA, it's like everyone wants to be on TV. I'm like, you kids have fun. I'm gonna go do some work and write my own scripts.
Well, you have so much talent pouring out of you. Continue success and cheers to everything you've done.
Right back at you, sir. Congratulations on this. That was what I was gonna ask you before I let you go.
Yes.
So you have you're hosting this series. And you film on Tuesdays. You must have other projects that you're working on as well.
Yeah, well, and Byron has such a wide sandbox to play in.
It's great,
So I'm actually, fronting and hosting, entertainment shows we do. We have entertainers. It's Byron Allen's original show that he was doing, So now, it's been an honor, getting to carry the torch for Byron.
So cool.
He did this show, 24 years ago that he first rolled out, Entertainers with Byron Allen.
Yeah.
And it's still that show. And so now I get to be a part of that.
We
have Kickin'
That's
It,
cool.
His show that I get to do. And we, do the junkets and talk to all the celebrities. And then being a part of that and being a part of the team that's putting these films into the universe. It's just been a great machine. Again, it's been a learning experience, and like I say, I feel really blessed, and I'm happy and honored that Byron trusts me with a show that is his baby, that I can be a guy out there, helping lead the way.
Well, you are really on fire. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing all the work that you're doing, including Funny You Should Ask, and as you mentioned, the entertainment series and everything else, all the movies. That's just so much going on.
Byron's and the team are spinning a lot of plates, so I'm just trying to help keep them up spinning.
How can people keep track of you? Twitter? Are you doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to be better at that. I'm one of the older guys, so I'm trying to be better now. But the cool thing is now with our show, again, it's a 30-minute show, and we tape. There's much more than that, so it gets distilled down. There are so many great outtakes that are hilarious that won't ever make the air. And sometimes, it's kind of edgy and some blue-type humor. That will be the chunks that I want to put out on social media. And, so we're developing a YouTube channel. We're going to do a lot more. So that's going to be my kind of entry full tilt.
It's a good idea.
Bleed those out and say, hey, here's what you didn't see. Here's the behind the scenes. So, and then maybe that'll draw people in to watch the real show.
Absolutely. Keep your eyes on the lookout for John Kelly. And again,
Thank you, Patty.
Of course, Monday through Friday, 11:30 p.m. on WCIU. Funny You Should Ask. Check it out. We'll have a great trip. I know that you've got more radio to do in the morning. I'm not going to say who. It's all right. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Oh, this is going to be a tough act to follow.
Oh, please.
You raise the bar, young lady.
Well, good luck with the rush hour traffic. It's been a pleasure, John. Have a great evening.
Take care.
And
thank
safe
you to your
travels.
Whole team here. Appreciate you.
Thanks
for the support.
Of course. More after this on 720 WGN.